All right, well, it's good to see you this afternoon. Appreciate so much you being here. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to together to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. The book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. As you study through the scriptures, you will discover that the Bible, if it is anything at all, it is brutally honest. In other words, it tells us exactly about the great successes of men, and it also tells us about their tragic failures, and it does not put it in any pretty picture. It just tells it like it is. And that's exactly what we're going to see today, because as you know, over the past several weeks, we have been looking at a portrait of God's amazing grace in the healing of Naaman. And now today we're going to see a terrible failure. And I think the reason why God allows these things to be shown to us so clearly is so that we might understand, first of all, the sinfulness of our human hearts, and so that we might also see our need to repent, and so that we might also understand what it is to live a life of holiness and a life of godliness. All of these things are seen in these various pictures that are given to us. And so today, as we come to the story of the prophet's servant, a fellow by the name of Gehazi, as we come to the story of this servant, we're going to find how that this man had a very serious problem. And his problem was a problem with greed. Greed. Let's begin by noticing together, first of all, Gehazi's wicked greed. His wicked greed. I read a story this past week from the life of Abraham Lincoln, who was the 16th president of the U.S. And the story is told that he was walking down the street with two of his little boys in there in tow. He had holding one in each hand, and as they're walking along, both of those boys were just crying loudly. And so someone passing by knew him and asked him, said, what is all the fuss about? And Abraham Lincoln is said to have responded by saying, the trouble with these boys is what's wrong with the whole world. One of them has a piece of candy and the other one wants it. Greed, right? That's greed. While that certainly illustrates a big problem in the world, it also illustrates one of the oldest problems known to mankind. And so it's no surprise then when we come to verse number 20, here's what it says. It says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now there's four things in this statement that we find Gehazi made. Four things that I want us to notice together this afternoon. First of all, I think we would have to begin by considering his opportunity. His opportunity as the servant of the prophet of God. He certainly had an opportunity to grow spiritually. He had an opportunity to mature spiritually. In other words, he had an opportunity in his own life to grow so that he would begin to see things not from a human, selfish perspective, but he would begin to see things from God's perspective. And he would begin to see things from God's point of view. That was the opportunity that he had. By the way, that's the same opportunity that each one of us has as we seek to grow in the Lord. It's an opportunity to grow so that we see things the way God sees them. But then we see not only his opportunity, we see his problem. And the problem was simply this. Because Gehazi had failed to grow spiritually as he should, even though he was the servant of the prophet of God, because he failed to grow as he should, his loyalties were divided. His loyalties were divided. And even though he was Elisha's servant, His heart was filled with a love for the things of the world. His heart was filled with a desire to have the things of the world. He had seen the riches that Naaman had offered. He had felt the confusion when Elisha said, "No, I'm not going to accept any of your gifts. I will not accept any of your reward." He was filled with confusion because of that. And as he saw those riches riding away in the chariot of Naaman, his heart went after him. He desired to have that stuff. He desired to have it. Now, the Lord Jesus warned us about this very same kind of heart attitude. And by the way, that's what greed is. Greed is just a heart attitude. And Jesus warned us about that over in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15, when He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Beware of that. Beware of covetousness. And here's the reason why we need to beware of it. It's because a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. There's more to life than stuff. Okay? I remember seeing a bumper sticker down in Florida, stuck on the back of some guy's car. Don't know who the guy was, never met him before. But anyway, had a bumper sticker on the back of his car, and it said something like this: "He who dies with the most toys wins." Well, see, that's the philosophy of the world. But that's the very thing Jesus said is a lie. Because our life is more than the stuff that we have. It's more than the abundance of wealth or the abundance of possessions. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than that. And building on that same thought then, Jesus said just a few chapters later in Luke 16:13, "No man can serve two masters." No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and material possessions or material wealth. You can't have it both ways. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And the problem was that Gehazi had never made the decision that God was going to be number one in his life. That was the problem. But that also brought another thing that we find in the text there, and that is his rationalization. His rationalization. You remember we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the Syrians would many times send raiding parties down into Israel. In fact, the young girl that had been taken captive and eventually became a witness to Naaman's wife, who introduced him to the prophet of God that resulted in the healing of his leprosy, she had been taken in one of those raiding parties, you remember. And so therefore, in the mind of Gehazi, since Naaman was one who had led raiding parties that had taken much wealth out of the land of Israel, Naaman thought that it would only be right, it would only be fair, it would only be just that Elisha should have taken something from Naaman. He thought that that was only right, that some of the treasures that the Syrian offered should have been accepted. But you remember we mentioned last time that Elisha had rejected the gifts of Naaman because he wanted to make sure Naaman understood two very important spiritual points. He wanted Naaman to understand that he was not accepting the gifts because he himself had not done the healing. It was God who had done that. And so he refused to accept the gift of Naaman because he did not want Naaman to think that he was the one who had done the healing. And he also refused to accept the gifts, if you will remember, because we said he did not want Naaman to think that God's favor and God's blessings could be bought. In other words, you can't bribe God. You can't bribe God. But Gehazi, because of his focus on money, because of his focus on material things, was blind to the spiritual applications. He was blinded to the spiritual things that Elisha was seeking to accomplish. And so he was totally focused just on the money. Just on the money. And then we see letter D, his hypocrisy. His hypocrisy. Verse number 20. Notice he said, "As the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." In other words, Gehazi determined that he would have Naaman's reward for himself. But he didn't want to sound greedy about it. He didn't want to sound greedy about it. And so he tried to make it sound like he was actually doing God's will. "As the Lord liveth, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do." "As the Lord liveth" sounds like a strange phrase to come out of the mouth of someone who is bent on lying and bent on stealing. One writer has rightly noted when he said this. He said, "Experience teaches us that pious platitudes oftentimes drop from the lips of persons engaged in equally indefensible proceedings, because by frequent use, the words become mere forms to which the speaker attaches no real meaning." I've heard people say, "Praise the Lord." Nothing wrong with saying that. It's just you listen to sometimes when they say it, it's totally inappropriate. Because the reason why is they've forgotten what praising the Lord is really all about. To them, it's just an expression. It's lost its meaning, you see. Lost its meaning. Same thing with amen or hallelujah or any other religious phrase that you can think of. Sometimes they just become things that we say without even thinking about what we're saying or why we're saying it. And so Gehazi sounds very pious. "As the Lord liveth." Here's what I'm saying. But the truth of the matter is, his heart was far removed from God and from doing the will of God. And so Gehazi then, "As the Lord liveth," makes his determination. And the Bible then says in verse 21, "So Gehazi followed after Naaman." He follows after Naaman. Now there's a principle that we need to mention here. There's a danger we need to mention here. And the principle and the danger is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, where it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we've said this before, you've heard it before. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with money. I think everybody ought to have some. Okay? Nothing wrong with money. Problem is when money becomes a thing that we love. That's the problem. And when we begin to fall in love with money, when we begin to fall in love with money, then it becomes the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now this verse is going to be very graphically illustrated in the life of Gehazi. It's going to be graphically illustrated. So I want us to notice, first, number two, Gehazi's downward spiral. His downward spiral. Because of the greed that had filled his heart, Gehazi is going to begin to sink into sin. And we're going to see him going deeper and deeper into sin. Now remember, he's the servant of the prophet. But because his heart is not right and his priorities are not right, he's going to begin doing some things that we would never imagine that he would do. And so let's look at it together. First of all, we see as Gehazi goes into this downward spiral, first of all, we see his sins against Naaman. his sins against Naaman. And as we consider the sins that Gehazi is going to commit against Naaman the Syrian, I want you to notice, first of all, that Gehazi lied to him. I mean, this isn't just a little white lie. This is a whopper. Okay? And I'm not talking about Burger King whopper, okay? I mean, this is a big one. This is a big one. Notice it, what it says. Verse 21. When Naaman saw him running after him, okay, Naaman takes off. He's in his chariot, has all of the treasures that he had brought with him. He's going home now, and he looks in his rearview mirror. I think chariots had rearview mirrors. I don't know. Anyway, he looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees this guy running after him. Sees this guy running after him. And so he stops his chariot, and the Bible says he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and he said, "Is all well?" Now, if you're paying attention, there's a very interesting side note here, and that is this. The fact that Naaman came down from his chariot to meet a servant shows that there has been a great change in this man's life. This man's life has been totally changed. He's no longer the proud, arrogant leader of the Syrian armies. He's now a grateful, reverent, humble man. He sees the servant of the man of God, and he stops it, and he gets down from his chariot to meet him. And so we see there was a real change. He comes down from his honored place. He meets the servant of the prophet. But then we find that Gehazi, in reply to Naaman's greeting, here's what he said in verse number 22. He said, "All is well. All is well. My master hath sent me." That's a lie. That's a lie. "My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets." That's a lie. "Give me, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." That's the request. But it's based on lies. He lied to him. He lied to him. And not only do we see that Gehazi lied to him, but we also see, number two, Gehazi stole from him. He stole from him. Verse number 23, Naaman said, "Be content. Take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. In other words, not only did Naaman give the requested items to Gehazi, he also ordered that more be given, and that two of his own servants would carry the stuff for him. However, in verse number 24, the Bible says that when he came to the tower, and you notice it is a specific, it's not a tower, it's the tower. This was the guard tower that guarded the gate of the city. And when they came to the tower, he took them from their hand. In other words, he did not want Elisha to see the servants of Naaman carrying all this stuff into his house. And so he took the stuff from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. You say, "Now wait a minute, how is that stealing? Naaman gave it to him freely. How is that stealing?" Well, here's why it's stealing. It's stealing because even though Naaman freely gave the gifts to Gehazi, because they were given under false pretenses, that's stealing. They were given under false pretenses. That's being dishonest. That's stealing. And so the sins against Naaman, there was lying and there was stealing. Okay? But not only did Gehazi sin against Naaman, I want you to notice letter B. We also see his sins against Elisha. Not only is he going to sin against the Syrian, he's going to sin against the prophet of God. And I want you to notice, first of all, the question in verse number 25. He went in, talking about Gehazi. He goes in now. He stood before his master. In other words, he assumes his position as a servant, standing before his master, waiting for his master to give some instruction, to give some order, something that he wants him to do. And so he goes in, he takes his position, standing before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" In other words, in the Crocker version of the Bible, it says, "Where you been, buddy? Where you been? What you been up to? Where have you gone and come back from?" That's the question. Pretty straightforward question, was it not? But I want you to notice, number two, the lie. The lie that was given. He went in, stood before his master. Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." I didn't go anywhere. I haven't done anything. I remember having two boys in our house. It was amazing how many times things happened, but nobody did it. You know. Who broke this? I don't know. If we could ever catch, I don't know, we could have solved a lot of mysteries in our house, I'll tell you for sure. But where you been, Gehazi? Oh, I didn't go anywhere. I ain't gone anywhere. Now, there's a biblical principle that I want to mention here. A biblical principle that we need to mention, and it's a principle that is very clearly stated. If we don't get anything else out of this lesson, we need to get this lesson right here. We need to get it firmly planted in our minds. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Numbers 32:23. Be sure. Be sure. In other words, this is just as absolutely certain as the fact that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning in the east. You can count on it. You can count on it. Be sure. Your sin is going to find you out. Every time. Every time. That's why we need to listen to the warning of the prophet, or the wise man, rather. The warning of the wise man in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins, tries to hide it, tries to cover it over, tries to use lies and deceit and all of that to cover up the sin that has been committed. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And the reason for all of this, the reason why your sin is always going to find you out, and the reason why you're never going to be able to prosper when you're trying to cover up and hide the sins that you have been committing, the reason for it is simply stated in Proverbs 15, verse number 3. It's because the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The truth of the matter is, you may sin and you may successfully hide your sin from the pastor. You may hide your sin from your husband or your wife, or you may hide your sin from your parents, or you may hide your sin from your very best friend. But the truth of the matter is, nobody can hide their sin from God, because His eyes are in every place. He sees it. He sees what we do, and He sees why we do what we do. He sees it. And so it's no surprise then that Elisha, the man of God, being in tune with God, understood and he knew. He knew, first of all, Gehazi's actions. Even though Gehazi said, "Oh, I didn't go anywhere," yet The Lord knew, and God revealed it to the prophet, and the prophet said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Now, the Bible does not say, but it may have been that God allowed Elisha by way of a vision to see all of the actions. It was sort of like CCTV, spiritual style. Okay? It may be that God allowed Elisha, showed him a vision, and in that vision he saw Gehazi go. The Bible doesn't say. We don't know. Possible, I guess. But at any rate, God had revealed to the man of God exactly what his servant had done. And so Elisha, he knew Gehazi's action, but not only did he know Gehazi's action, he also knew Gehazi's motives. He knew the motive behind it. As we've already said, the prophet Elisha had rejected the gifts of Naaman because there were some spiritual lessons that needed to be fully understood, and therefore this was not a time to be accepting gifts. And so therefore the question to Gehazi was very simple. Verse 26, is it a time to receive money? Is this a time to be taking a gift? Is this the time to receive money and to receive garments? It's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is no. This is not the time. But there was more involved here than the timing. There was the motive that was also revealed. And notice the motive in verse 26. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? You get the idea? You see, what Elisha's saying here is simply this: the selfish motive, the selfish, greedy motive behind Gehazi's lies was a desire not just for some talents of gold and silver and not just for some garments. His desire was to have a whole lot more. His motive, his dream, his desire was to have the olive yards and the vineyards and the sheep and the oxen and all the servants that wealth could bring to him. In other words, his desire was to be a wealthy, rich man. That was his desire. That was his desire. And because of his lies, and because he loved the things of the world more than he loved the things of God, we find a third thing in the story of Gehazi, and that is his terrible judgment. Verse 27, the prophet of God said, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. In other words, just as quickly as Naaman was healed of his leprosy when he dipped the seventh time in the Jordan River, that leprosy appeared in full-blown portions in the flesh of Gehazi, so that his skin was as white as snow from the disease that had settled upon him. Now I want you to notice a couple of things. The consequence of all of this. The consequence of this is simply that the leprosy of Naaman became the leprosy of Gehazi. And the promise was that this disease was going to be carried forward into the future generations. But then I want you to notice the result of it. One of the amazing things that we learn from Scripture is that all of God's judgments are designed to bring men to a place of repentance. All of God's judgments are designed to bring men to a place of repentance. And while there's no record of it in the Scripture, I do believe that's what happened to Gehazi. I believe there was repentance in his life. I believe he did the same thing the psalmist did. When he said in Psalm 32, verse 5, the psalmist said, I acknowledged my sin. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. I think that's exactly what Gehazi did. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because in just three chapters later, we'll get there eventually, but three chapters later, here's what we find in 2 Kings 8:4, that the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. In other words, the sin has been confessed and the judgment was lifted. The sin was repented of, and the judgment was lifted. Now I want you to understand, as we bring this to a close, I do not say these things to minimize sin, because sin is a very serious thing. Sin is a very serious thing. It's serious because sin grieves the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. It's a serious thing because sin will harden your heart against God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 13. And as a result of that, if we continue in our sin, our sinful attitudes, and our sinful actions, what happens is we become caught in a downward spiral that moves us further and further and further away from God and from our fellowship with God. And before long, we find that we have become more and more calloused and insensitive to God's Word and the ministry of His Holy Spirit in our lives. But let me just say to you this afternoon that if you are caught in such a sad condition, if you are caught in such a dangerous condition, and in your own heart of hearts you know that you have been slipping away and sliding further and further and beginning to be involved in things you thought you would never be involved in, and doing things you thought you would never do, let me just remind you of the wonderful promise that if we will confess our sin, that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that's what He did for Gehazi. And I know that's what He'll do for you if you just ask Him. Heavenly Father, thank You this afternoon.